Lesson today is found in the 5th and 6th chapter of the book of Exodus. We have been speaking to you last week how that Moses and Aaron went into the people and revealed unto them what God had in purpose for them, and that they likewise showed the signs that God had given unto Moses to prove to them that they were messengers from God to these people, and that God was going to deliver them from their bondage and from their servitude. And these people, when they heard what God had in store for them, they believed Moses and Aaron, and they bowed their heads in deep reverence and worshiped God. God was mindful of these people, and now they, in turn, were given to remember God likewise. They probably had lost most of their religion while they were living down in the land of Egypt, and probably many of them had no thought of God anymore, but God had thoughts of them. God seen their servitude, their slavery, and now he promised that he would deliver them. And these people, they believed the voice of Moses and Aaron, which came to them. And now we find God had commanded Moses and Aaron that they should go into Pharaoh and speak unto him that he should let his son Israel go. For Israel was his firstborn. And if Pharaoh did not leave Israel go, why then he would slay his firstborn. This was the threatening that God gave unto Moses to speak unto Pharaoh. This is a wonderful thing that God claims Israel to be his son, his firstborn. Every person that is born again by the grace of God is one of God's firstborn. They are born here, and they likewise are heaven-born, and they certainly will enter into heaven above. God claims then these Israelites as his son, and therefore Pharaoh must let his son go to serve him, or otherwise God would strike his firstborn son. This Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Likewise, he holds every one of God's sons and daughters in his hold. He has power over them. And God comes in the day of regeneration, and he says, let my son go to serve me. And all of this devil will attempt in every way to prohibit these sons of returning back to God to serve him. But in this day, he must let them go. What a mercy if any one of my hearers have experienced such a day in your life, that you have been born again and that you have been given to forsake the devil's service and you have become by grace a son of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is, my hearers, in this life. It's a question I would like to put to you. Whose son are you? You are either a son or a daughter of the devil or a son or a daughter of the Lord. Either one, there's no in between. And what a mercy if you have had some signs and some tokens in your very heart that you are a son and a daughter of the Lord God Almighty. And then most certainly you are given to serve him, and he will serve you. These men then were commanded by God to go into Pharaoh. We find in the first verse in this chapter that Moses and Aaron, they went into Pharaoh and they said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may do a feast unto me in the desert. And these men then obeyed God. They were sent by God. They were sent with a message from God to this king. And they went into this king, and they spake in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And they told this king that he wanted this people to go into the desert 3 days, and then they would hold a feast to him. These Israelites then were going to go and worship God, which in all probabilities they had not done in the land of Egypt. They had no synagogues. They had no form of worship. They probably had fallen, most of them, into idolatry. But now God came and claimed them as his people, and he wanted them to go out into the desert, and there he would meet with them, and there they would do sacrifice unto him. And therefore these men came to Pharaoh with this demand from God. And this demand was a wonderful demand when I look at it. God says, let my people go. They were his people. He claimed divine relationship to them. They were his covenant people. They were the people that had descended from Abraham, from Isaac, and from Jacob. And they had been in this land 430 years. And God now remembered his covenant. It was the time for him to bring these people out. And he seen what was taking place with them. And therefore he sent now Moses and Aaron as his ambassadors to bring these people out. And they went in and spake unto Pharaoh. They had liberty, they had boldness, they spake in the name of the Lord God of Israel. They were his servants, that was their God, and likewise they were duty-bound to do this, and so was Pharaoh duty-bound to listen, to obey what God spake unto them. But we find that Pharaoh, he said unto them, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, and I also will not let Israel go. This king then answered them in this way, that he would not listen to the voice of the Lord, and that he knew not the Lord, and he would not let them go. We have in this expression of Pharaoh his sin, his iniquity, his pride, his haughtiness, his stubbornness, his disobedience, and likewise this king speaking in this manner, saying, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? He knew not the Lord. Surely if he did, he would have listened. But he did not know the Lord. He was a haughty monarch. He thought, who, me? I, the king of Egypt? I who rule all these people? I who have these subjects under my dominion? I should listen to the Lord God of Israel? Not me. He would not. This is his language. And he knew not the Lord. He didn't. And therefore, he refused to let them go. He then was a person like so many my hearers. He was a haughty king, and he lived without God, without hope, and without Christ in this world. He was a servant of the devil, and he served him. And therefore, he was, as we read in Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And this is what he was saying. His God was the river Nile. His God was himself. And he would not listen to the voice of God speaking to him by the mouth of Moses and Aaron. He refused then. I know not the Lord. This was true. He did not know him. Or had he known him, had he loved him, had he feared him, he would have never have spoken in this way. But he had no grace. He had no hope. He had no love. He had nothing of God in him, and this is the way he spake, my hearers. He refuses then to let Israel go. This man, Pharaoh, in this expression, is a type of each and every one of us. We all have a Pharaoh in our hearts, my hearers. We all have lost the true knowledge of God in and through our deep fall in Adam. And inwardly it says too by us, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Oh, we see this soul in the generation which is living around about us. We find millions and millions of people, they do not read the Bible. They do not obey the voice of God even in his written word. They say with their deeds even, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord. This is what we see round about us, and this is what we experience inwardly in our own hearts. I know not the Lord. Is there not a voice in you that says, well, I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to listen to his voice. I'm not going to do what he says in his word. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what God does to me. This is the voice that we have in us. Oh, we would rather go on in our sins and perish in our sins. I will not obey his voice. Do we not see it in the pleasure-seeking America of our times? Oh, do we not see it in the rebellions that are spreading far and wide throughout the land? No fear of God before their eyes. Oh, my hearers, how sad it is in and through sin that we likewise have the very same principles in our hearts. Oh, may we be given to know this God. Pharaoh knew him not. He would not obey him, and neither will you and I by nature. Oh, we are disobedient. We are haughty creatures. We are proud creatures, and we refuse to bow before God and before his word. So this man refused to do. He refused to let Israel go. And now Moses said unto him, the Lord God of Israel of the Hebrews has said unto us, let the people go for a 3-day journey into the wilderness, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord, lest he come upon us with pestilence and with the sword. This Moses speaks unto Pharaoh. He speaks about the God of the Hebrews, and he only asked for a 3-day journey. He didn't ask that they should be delivered completely. He didn't complain about the servitude and the slavery and the hard work that these people were doing, but he just asked that they would have a 3-day vacation so that they could worship God. Oh, this king, he refused to let them go. And now, my hearers, these people, although they were God's covenant people, and there may be some spiritual Israelites amongst us, these people likewise are duty-bound to honor the government and to obey their superiors. But the government and the kings and the rulers are not to let these people go without worshiping God. They're not to restrain them from it. They are to permit them to do so. This is what this monarch did. He did not let them go. He would not allow them to worship God. And therefore, he says unto Moses and unto Aaron, go, get ye to your burdens. These people are many in the land, and you keep these people from their burdens and from their labors. And therefore, he decided that he would lay more work upon them. He said that he would lay more tasks upon these people. He would show them what they would do. He then gave command unto the taskmasters that were over these people that they should take away the straw that they were using to make the bricks, and that these people should gather straw wherever they could get it, and that they should make the same number of bricks as they did every day. This Pharaoh became angry then with Moses and Aaron. And he says, go, get ye unto your burdens. In other words, he sent them back to work too. They were the servants of God. They were recognized as such. But he didn't recognize them as such. They weren't anything to him. He sent them back to work too, just as the rest of the people. And he laid more burdens upon them. They were then compelled to be, they were scattered throughout the land to seek straw to make bricks. He took the straw away from them. These people, they were an industrious people. He called them an idle people. They were idle, and therefore he laid more work upon them so that they would not be idle and they would not listen to vain words such as the words that Moses and Aaron had told them. He calls the words of God vain words. It's a wonder when you read this that considering the character of Pharaoh, that he did not take Moses and Aaron and execute him, that he did not put him in a dungeon in prison, for the simple reason that he thought that they were doing this, that this wasn't of God, this was just their own imagination, and that they came with these things to the people. And they were disturbing the peace of the country of Egypt, and they were also making these people filled with all kinds of thoughts and imaginations, as he thought, superstitious and religious they were in and through what Moses and Aaron were speaking to them about. And therefore, he sent them back to their work and laid more work upon them so that they would not be idle. They would not have any time to think about going out into the wilderness and worshiping. This is what this king did then. And he sent word by his taskmasters. And now these taskmasters, they had to do what the king commanded them to do. So they went to the people, and they told the people, so-and-so Pharaoh has said, you will not get any more straw. You'll have to go throughout the land and gather stubble and straw wherever you can get it to make the bricks. And now, and in this way, these people, they were scattered throughout all the land gathering straw. In fact, this worked on the pity of the Egyptians. The Egyptians admired these people, for they were building treasure cities for Pharaoh. They were working day and night building these places for Pharaoh and for the Egyptians. And now when Pharaoh took away the straw, well, it was natural that they couldn't make as much bricks as they had done before this when they were given the straw. And now these taskmasters, they had set over the people Israelitish men. They were like foremen. They were like superintendents. They had to see to it that the work was done. And now these superintendents, they divided the people into groups. Certain groups had to go out into the land and cut down stubble and straw, and the others, they remained making bricks. But of course they couldn't make as many bricks as they had done before. After 2 days, why, these taskmasters, they said to these foremen, to these superintendents, how come you didn't make as many bricks as you did before? And they beat these men. They beat these Israelitish men because they had not brought forth as many bricks as they were supposed to. These men then were beaten. They were in a sad case, these Israelitish men. They either had to take the abuse of these taskmasters, or they had to abuse their own people. This was what they were driving at. This is why these taskmasters used these men like this. It was with this that they thought, we will have them on our side and they will abuse their own people. But now these men, these Israelitish men that were foremen, they went to Pharaoh with their complaints. It seems that there was no law opposing the people of the land to go to the king with their complaints. So they came to Pharaoh, and these Israelitish men, they spake unto Pharaoh, saying, they say unto us, make brick. But we cannot make brick because they do not give us straw. So the fault is your own people. This was a justified complaint. It was an impossibility for them to do as they were requested to do. And still this monarch, this haughty monarch, he would not listen to them. He said unto them, ye are idle, ye are idle. Go ye and do more work. And bring forth the same tale of bricks as you did before. He then spake to these men in a harsh and in a sarcastic manner. They found no comfort by him. They found no relief. These men, who were probably the leaders of the Israelitish people, heads of some tribes probably, they were in a sad case when they came back from this monarch. All instead of having now a deliverance, instead of experiencing what Moses said God was going to do, he had promised that he was going to deliver these people, and now instead of this, more burdens were laid upon them. They were more made to serve with rigor. They had to work much harder now. And of course, when they left Pharaoh, why, they were in a sad condition, these men. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way when they came from the palace of Pharaoh. And these men of Israel said unto Moses and unto Aaron, see ye and judge ye what has taken place. You've put a sword, a whip into the hands of Pharaoh and unto his servants to slay us. We see in this, my hearers, how wonderful God is in his dealings with his people. You know, it always has to get to the worst point before God shows his hand and delivers. And now these people, they thought that God should show his hand immediately. They thought that they should be delivered right away. And they went to Pharaoh with their complaint, but they got no comfort there. And now they complain to Moses and to Aaron, because it was Moses and Aaron that were the leaders. They were the men that had come to them with this report that God had appeared unto them in the wilderness, and that God was going to deliver them from their slavery and from their servitude. And now instead of this, why, here they had to work much harder, and more was laid upon them than before. And these men then, they reported to Aaron and Moses that this was not the way it should have been. In other words, in unbelief, we wish you never had told us that God was going to deliver us. We would have not had this rigor and this work to do as we have now. It's all because of you and of Aaron in telling us this. This was unbelief. All these men, had they fallen down before God, and had they said, Lord, you promised by the mouth of Moses and Aaron to deliver us, and now because of our sins and our iniquities, we likewise have more work laid upon us and impossibilities to do that we cannot. But they did not. They picked on Moses and Aaron. All my hearers, in this there lies a nice spiritual meaning. For when God is going to deliver his people, it goes so contrary to the way we think it's going to go. These people are a type of the children of God throughout all ages, especially when God takes a sinner into hand and opens his eyes to see his sins. Then such a sinner, he begins to realize that he has a God to do with, and that this God demands strict obedience to his holy law. And such a sinner immediately begins to serve God, if possible, without sin. They take hold of the law of God, and now God opens up the law in its spirituality, and God reveals unto such sinners that they cannot keep this law. They try, they work hard, they serve day and night, struggling against sin, and they find they cannot overcome sin. They cannot keep God's law as they would like to, and thinking that thereby they would be likewise find favor with God. But like these Israelites, when things went against them, so it is so when things again go against them, and they get themselves home and they find what passions, what lust, what strength sin has over them, then they become discouraged. They may have had, in the meantime, some promises of God that they would be delivered. But when things go like this, then they begin like these men, and they begin to say, there'll be never anything come of it. These people didn't think either when they had went to Pharaoh that they ever would be delivered. They would have rather had that Moses and Aaron had not told them these things. And now such sinners likewise, they have heard wonderful things that God would deliver them, that he would save them, that he would bring them out from under their bondage and servitude. And now when things go worse, when they feel that they are lost, they are ruined, they are undone, and they cannot deliver themselves, then they speak just like these people, the same, and sometimes they even go to the ministers and complain to them, well, you said this and you said that, but oh, it's going so contrary to what you said. So they did with Moses and Aaron. They picked on the message that Moses had brought to them from God. Of course, when a man is a leader, a public leader, when a man is a minister, a servant of God, he must not expect that all the people are going to be for him. He will find that even enemies and friends will even oppose them. This they must expect in the work that they are in. God had told Moses and Aaron that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened and that he would not let the people go. They knew Moses and Aaron because God had made known to them this fact. And now when these people complain to Moses and to Aaron, then we find that Moses went to God. We have here these Israelites discouraged, despondent, and gloomy, and we have Moses in the same state of condition because they went to him with their troubles. And yeah, Moses, he went to God with it. And he said, Lord, he said, you haven't delivered these people. Why have you sent me? Even since I went in to speak unto Pharaoh, he has done nothing else but evil unto this people, and you haven't brought them out. This was what Moses spake unto God. Oh, he was discouraged. He was cast down too. Oh, he thought, why did God send me? I've done what he told me to do. I went in and spake unto Pharaoh, and now Pharaoh, he's evil and treated this people much more than before, and God hasn't delivered them either. Why did you send me? Moses was very discouraged in this respect. Oh, Moses probably wished that he had never had been sent. He didn't want to go in the first place, and now he's again in this position. Why have ye sent me? Oh, my hearers, this man, Moses, he is a type of a minister of God. Many a minister goes to God with the complaint, you sent me with a message. You gave me to speak unto the people. I've brought the gospel to them, but I see no signs. I see no fruit. I see no blessing upon my labor. Why did you send me? Oh, they become so discouraged many times God sent ministers. This is their sin. Oh, if God does bless their ministry later on, then they fall in before God. They must be given light likewise from God to see that he is working in a wonderful way for to deliver sinners out of the power of the devil. And now we find that Moses then, he is encouraged by God himself in the very next chapter. This despondent servant of God who has said, why send me? We find God coming to him. How God spake to Moses is a mystery. How he revealed himself to him, in which manner, in which way, we know not. But Moses had very intimate intercourse with God. Oh, he was very near unto God, and God spake to him very many times. And now God came to him and spake unto him and said unto him that he should go to the children of Israel and that he should tell them that he, this God who had appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, and who had promised these patriarchs this land, the land of Canaan, which was their pilgrimage in which they sojourned, that he would give them this land, and that he was the Lord God. He, the God of heaven and earth, who had promised us, he, the faithful one, he was the one that was calling upon these people and telling them that he was going to give them this land. He sent Moses then with a message to these people to tell them that he had not revealed himself unto Jacob and Isaac and Abraham under the name of Jehovah, but he, Jehovah, he would fulfill the covenant that he had made and that he had agreed to with these patriarchs. Jehovah means self-existent, the independent one, and in this capacity, he would reveal unto Israel that he was the one that was going to deliver these people. He spake unto Moses and said, go to these children of Israel and say unto them that I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, and I will deliver thee from the bondage and from the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you out with a high hand and with an outstretched arm, and I will take you unto myself to be my people, and I will be your God. And I will give unto you the land that I have promised unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and Jacob, and this will be your heritage forever. This was very comforting unto Moses. Moses had a message again to go to God with. And as I was studying this, my hearers, I thought, what a wonderful message he had to bring to these people. All he had to bring that God was faithful, that God was going to keep his promises, that God loved these people, they were his people, that he would take them unto himself, and he would claim them as my people, and they likewise would learn to know him to be the Lord their God who had delivered them. Oh, in this, my hearers, we have a wonderful gospel message. I was thinking, oh, could I but speak to the spiritual Israel in my class. What God says in these few sentences, how wonderful it was. I, the covenant God, I have taken you and will take you to be my people. God made a covenant with his dear son Jesus in eternity. He knows his people. He knows them by name. He knows where they are. He knows that they are under the bondage and under the servitude of Satan, of sin, of the world, and of the flesh. And he comes to them in the message of his word and speaks to them that he will deliver them, that according to his covenant he must deliver them. There can be no yea or no. He is a God that is faithful to his word. And so he would do this with Israel of old. He would take them out of Egypt and he would bring them to himself. Has he done this to any of you, my hearers? Has he taken you out of the Egypt of this world? Has he brought you close to himself? Has he given you any intimation that you are one of his people? Or has he revealed himself as the Lord God in this respect, the Jehovah, the self-existent one, the independent one, the almighty one, who has broke all the bands which held you to Satan, to sin, and to this world? You never could break them yourself. And all he has brought you so close to himself that you have learned to know him. All you have learned to love him, and you wish that you could love him more. All he in sovereignty, in grace, chose you from before the foundations of the world. He came and he separated you from the world and brought you to himself. All he then is the Lord your God. May you be given to worship him. And now Moses was commanded to go to the people with this message, a wonderful message, my hearers. This is the gospel. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to bring such a message to people. And he, in turn, spake unto God. And he said to God, oh God, he says, these people, they will not listen to me. Oh, he went to them and he told them what God had said unto him concerning their deliverance. And these people, it is written, it says, that they were in such bondage and in such rigor and such servitude that they did not even pay any attention to his words. They gave no ear to this message. They heard it not because of their bondage and of their servitude and the way they had to work. And Moses returned to God and said that these Israelites, they wouldn't listen to him. How much less would Pharaoh listen to him who was of uncircumcised lips? Oh, my hearers, this takes place in life with God's dear people too. Oh, they are in such servitude. They are in such bondage, and sin seems to have so much dominion over them. And when they hear such wonderful things as that God is a covenant God, that God loves them, that God most certainly will deliver them, and that they will learn to know him to be as the Lord their God. They don't receive the message. They don't believe the message. They can't believe that this will ever take place with them in this life. You one of those unbelievers? Are you troubled with this, my hearers? Oh, what a mercy if you can say, Lord, help my unbelief out of the way, that I may believe that you have a favor towards me, that in due time you will deliver me. These people had a promise then that God would most certainly deliver them, and that they would be taken to be with him, and that he would be the Lord their God. And still, in all what they had in Egypt, they could not accept the message of Moses. Moses then was told to go to Pharaoh and plead with Pharaoh to let these people go. But Moses, he had no desire either to go to Pharaoh anymore. Oh, he likewise was so discouraged because even the people of Israel didn't hear him. So how much less would Pharaoh listen to him? And then we have a whole register of names in this chapter of the heads of all the people of the Israelites who went with Moses to Pharaoh. All my hearers, there were any number of them that believed when Moses came to them at first, but now there are very few that believe and hold fast to what God had said. They are in bondage. They are under the power and under dominion of these Egyptians, and they can't believe that they'll ever be brought out anymore. Oh, maybe there's a soul listening to me that says, that's just the way I am. Oh, sin is so strong. The world is so strong. The flesh is so strong. And oh, I'm such a servant to it. I can't believe that God will ever deliver the likes of me. Oh, when it gets worse, when you can't be delivered fully and completely, then God will deliver you. That's the way God came to the Israelites of old. And this is the way he still works with his dear children. When things become worse and there seems to be no hope anymore, then the God of heaven and of earth arises so that he will show forth his glory and that he will have all the honor of delivering any sinner who is one of his children. Oh, may God bless my feeble attempts in giving you some instruction out of this chapter, which I could not pass by. The Lord use it for the comfort of his people and for the conversion of sinners. That's all for today.